This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome our dear brothers and sisters in Al-Islam to the continuation of our explanation of the Hanbali text, Kitabu Furu' al-Fiqhi, by the great Hanbali scholar of Al-Islam, Yusuf ibn Abdul Hadi al-Hanbali rahimahullah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, in our previous majalis, we completed the matters pertaining to zakah. We've also gone through a Q&A session, revision Q&A session, inshallah. We did before that the matters pertaining to janazah and the Q&A session. We did the same for salah and tahara, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, we will now be moving on to the third pillar of Al-Islam. Now, what is this pillar? This is the pillar of Siyam, walhamdulillah. But before that, take note, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, this book, Kitabu Furu' al-Fiqhi, it is a concise text. Our explanation, we are going through the Mu'tamad opinion of the Madhab, the official position of the Madhab. And when we state that this is the Madhab according to the Mutaakhirin, according to the latter-day Hanbali scholars. What is meant by latter-day Hanbali scholars? Those of the last 40 years? Those of the last 100 years? No, rather from Imam Mardawi, all those who came after him, that period after him, this is regarded as the Mutaakhirin period, walhamdulillah. Also remember, our explanation and this text, our explanation, we are not dabbling into the evidences and munaqashat and the strength of evidences, nor are we going through the khilafat within the madhab and outside of the madhab. We're not going into all of that. The aim and the objective behind this explanation and this text is to have the sawwur am, to have an overview of these matters of fiqh, insha'Allah, to have the main matters in your hand, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Remember, you have the mutawwalat, which are the encyclopedias of fiqh within each madhab. So you find, for example, amongst the Hanbalis, al-mughni, where you have the evidences of the madhab. You have the evidences of the other schools, the opinions of the others, opinions of the tabi'een, sahaba, etc. You also find debate and discussion and tarjih, that the author states this is the strongest opinion. There's all of that munaqasha and debate and discussion in the mutawwalat, in these encyclopedias, walhamdulillah. Then you also find there are other books where they do not go dabble into the matters of evidences, but rather they go through each matter and the opinions within the madhab. And so they make it clear, these are the various opinions within the madhab on this matter here. Imam Ahmed, the various riwayat from him. So we find that, for example, in Saf of Imam Mardawi, you know, this is an example of that. No evidences, but rather the ikhtilaf you find within the madhab, the various opinions, this is mentioned in that type of book. Then you also find the other mutun, the other texts, like, for example, they try to cover as many masail as possible, as many furu' as possible. You find within the Hanbali madhab, al-iqna'. Al-iqna', the aim and the objective here, this book is not for a beginner. This book here wants to cover as many furu' masail as possible. Whereas you have other texts which are meant to be texts for the student to study, for the student to move up in his level of understanding and his ilm. You find Zad al-Mustaqni, Umdatul Fiqh, Umdatul Talib, Dalil al-Talib. This book here that we are studying, Furu' al-Fiqh, this is one of, as we mentioned, the most concise works of the Hanbali madhab, gives the student an overview of the various masail, overview of the various chapters within fiqh, without going into the various differences within the madhab and outside the madhab. You would destroy the student. This is throwing him into the deep end when he does not even know how to swim. And so this is a good text for the beginner, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, the author states, الثالث الصوم, the third الصوم, third what? The third pillar of Al-Islam. وَيَشْتَمِلُ عَلَىٰ أَرْبَعَةٍ And four matters are covered here. The صَائِم, the one who fasts, the actual صَوْم, وَيُفْسِدْ لَهُ وَمُفْسِدْ لَهُ What nullifies your fast, وَمَفْعُولٌ فِيهِ What should you do while you are fasting? So we will cover the person who does the fasting, the actual fast, what types of fast do we have, what nullifies it, and what do we do within the fast, insha'Allah. أَمَّا الصَّائِمُ فَهُوَ فِي الْوَاجِبِ As for the person who does the fasting, well, when it comes to the obligatory fast, here, let us discuss. Then there's also nafil fast, and we will discuss the individual there. كُلُّ مُكَلَّفٍ غَيْرْ مُسَافِرْ وَحَائِدْ وَنُفَسَى Who is fasting an obligation upon? The month of Ramadan, this is a fard type of fast, an obligatory type of fast. Who is it an obligation upon? Kullu mukallaf. Every person who is mukallaf. Mukallaf means that you are baligh and you are aqil, you are sane. So within the word mukallaf, we understand you are baligh, you are mature, you are pubert. And number two, you are aqil, you are sane. Ghair musafir, you are not musafir. So you are a resident. The musafir has the concession, does not have to fast. In fact, according to the madhab, it's better if you do not fast. I'm a musafir, I'm traveling in first class, there's no difficulty. Brother, you're a musafir and you are hanbali, walhamdulillah. According to the hanbali school, it is better if you do not fast. It is better if you do not fast. That the Prophet ﷺ said, that laysa min albir asyamu fi safar. It is not from piety that you fast while you are on travel. And so we've already discussed the definition of a traveler within the section of Salah. Walhamdulillah. Wahaid wa nufasa, the woman who is in menses, the woman who has given birth and she is bleeding, they are not allowed to fast. If they do fast, it's not valid from them. They have to make qada. Similarly with regards to the musafir, he does not fast, he's given the concession, and he makes qada post Ramadan, insha'Allah. But what if the musafir wanted to fast, and he did fast? Is it accepted? Is it valid from him? Yes. Whereas the female in menses, she wants to fast, and she did so. Will that be valid? No, not at all. The author does not mention salamatu min al-marad. We add that in salama min al-marad, that you should be free from illness. Because if you are sick, you also have the concession, you do not have to fast. Walhamdulillah. Remember, when it comes to marad, or if we want to expand it into istita'a, ability to fast, the person could have a temporary excuse, or they could have a permanent excuse. A temporary excuse, I'm down with the flu right now, I have a fever, I'm going for an operation, etc. And so a temporary excuse, you didn't fast, you make qada later on, insha'Allah. Whereas a permanent excuse, the man's 95 years old, the person has a terminal illness, but they are only 25 years old, here they cannot fast. They will not be able to fast. Doctor says whether today, tomorrow, next year, 5 years, this illness you have it for life. And so you will have to feed for every day that you didn't fast, a poor Muslim, insha'Allah. Remember with regards to a musafir, that we have brother Salman, and Salman was at home, and Salman is traveling after Salatul Dhuhr to New York from London. Excellent. While he's in London, he wakes up in the morning, packs his bags, jumps into a taxi. Can he break his fast? No. He still has to fast because he's still a resident. He's at the airport and, you know, he's still fasting, mashallah. Once they take off and he has left the boundary of his city, now he can break his fast, insha'Allah. Now he is allowed to break his fast. Walhamdulillah. So, you are on... You have left your city, etc. You are allowed to break your fast, insha'Allah. But you are allowed to break your fast? Now, the second type of musafir is, now that he is in New York, he's already in New York, and he's staying in New York for 2 days. And so those 2 days, he will wake up in the morning and he will not be fasting. And that's the better thing to do, insha'Allah. Excellent. So the first one was when he started as a muqeem and then he became a musafir. The second one, that he woke up in the morning and he's already a musafir. Walhamdulillah. The third one, this is when brother Ilyas, he leaves New York and he's coming back home. And he knows that around Zuhr time, he's going to reach home. At Zuhr time, he's going to get back to his town. According to the madhab, here you are not allowed to fast on that day. But I started out my day in New York. I'm a musafir right now. But you know that you are going to get to London, you are going to get home by Zuhr time. According to the madhab, you have to fast. You have to fast because you know that you are going to get home in the same day, and you are going to end up the day being a resident, insha'Allah. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, the author states, وَفِنْ نَفْلِ. As for the non-obligatory fast, كُلُّ مُمَيِّزْ عَاقِلْ غَيْرْ حَائِضْ وَنُفَسَى. Every individual who is mumayyiz, meaning you have reached the age of discernment, you are 7 or above, this nafil fast will be accepted from you, insha'Allah, will be valid from you. You are not in menses, you are not in nufasa, and all is well, insha'Allah. So for nafil fast, you do not have to be mukallaf. You do not have to be mukallaf for a nafil fast, insha'Allah. Then the author states, أَمَّا الصَّوْمْ فَهُوَ ثَلَاثَةُ أَقْسَامٍ. As for the actual fast, then there are three categories of the actual fast, insha'Allah. As for the actual fast, we have number one, the fard, which is the month of Ramadan. Wajib wa huwa al-mandhur. Salman says, if I pass my exam, I'm going to fast 3 days for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a nadhar. You have obliged this upon yourself. And the principle is, any nadhar ta'a of goodness, of ibadah, of righteousness, then you need to carry it out. You need to fulfill it, insha'Allah. Excellent. وَقَضَى رَمَضَانِ. Or for example, you missed a few days in the month of Ramadan, you need to make qada of this. So this here, the author categorizes it as the wajib category, insha'Allah. Remember, you need to make up a fast from the month of Ramadan. You need to do it before the next Ramadan. If you have a valid excuse and you delayed it, khair and barakah, no problem. But you left it for 11 months without a valid excuse. Number one, you are sinful. Number two, you need to make qada. Number three, you need to feed a poor Muslim for every day. For every day for this delay, you need to do a kafara, insha'Allah. Excellent. The next one, وَسُنَّ وَهُوَ الْمُطْلَقُ وَهُوَ كُلُّ صَوْمٍ لَيْسَ بِمَنْذُورٍ وَلَا قَضَاءٍ وَقَعَ فِي زَمَانٍ لَا يُكْرَهُ صَوْمُهُ وَلَا يُحْرَمُ. And as for sunnah type of fast, as for the mutlaq, unrestricted, any day, any time you can fast, as long as it's not a makruh day to fast, as long as it's not a haram day to fast, fasting is a good thing to do, insha'Allah. Then what's makruh? مثل إفراد الجمعة والسبت. Singling out the day of Friday for fasting, not good. Singling out Saturday for fasting, not good. Ajib, the scholars state, what are two matters which are makruh on their own, but if you get them together, they cease to be makruh. Meaning, if you fast Saturday and Friday, this is not makruh. This is fine. But fasting only Saturday, makruh. Fasting only Friday, this is makruh. But join them together, it is not makruh, insha'Allah. One Nehruz, one Mahrajan. These are Persian festivals. Nehruz, 21st of March. Mahrajan, 23rd of September. This is something which is makruh to fast on. The author mentions this because you probably had a time wherein, because the Persians, this is a fast that they were accustomed to in ensuring that we do not imitate them. So because this was a day of festivities for them, you had some Muslims trying to make mukhalafa of them. So these Muslims went along and said, well, you people are having festivities on this day. What we will do is we will fast. To be different from you people, we will fast. So the author stating here that, it is makruh to do so, to do this type of fast. It's not legislated, etc. Also, the day of shak, the day of doubt. The day of doubt, according to the Hanbali madhab, is on the 29th of Ramadan. So tomorrow is going to be either the first of Eid, the first of Shawwal, the first of Shawwal, which is the day of Eid, or it's going to be the 30th of Shaban. We're not sure. Tomorrow, we look to sight the moon, and if it is clear, if the sky is clear, then the 30th, this here is called the day of the day of doubt. The day of doubt. So fasting on this day of doubt, this is something which is makruh. This is something which is makruh. Whereas the definition of the day of doubt, according to the other scholars, is different. They say whether it's cloudy or not cloudy, on the 30th of Sha'ban, this is the day of doubt. The Hanbali say no, it's only a day of doubt if it was clear. But if it was cloudy, according to the Hanbalis, you must fast. Other scholars are saying, no, it's the 30th of Sha'ban. Ramadan hasn't come in. Hanbali said, no. Why? Because last night we went out and the sky was very cloudy. We tried to look for the moon. We couldn't sight it. And so maybe the moon was there. Maybe the hilal was there, but we were not able to sight it because of the cloudiness. And so we're going to be on the safe side and we are going to fast tomorrow and we are going to regard it as the first Ramadan. Others say, no. It is the day of doubt. So they have a difference in terms of what each one defines the day of doubt. Wa Muharram, and a Muharram type of fast. Fasting any of the two Eids. Also the days of Tashriq, 11th, 12th and 13th of Dhul Hijjah. Wal Muqayyid, a restricted specific type of sunnah fast. The day of Arafah, the 9 days of Dhul Hijjah, recommended Ashura, 10th of Muharram, Yomul Ithnain, Yomul Khamis, wa sittatu ayyam ba'da Ramadan fi Shawwal, 6 days after Ramadan in the month of Shawwal, all recommended. The 3 days in every month, 13th, 14th, and 15th, Muharram, the 9th and the 10th, recommended, or the 10th and the 11th, Sha'ban, also recommended. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would fast a lot in the month of Sha'ban. Wal Mufsid, now the third matter, what nullifies our fast? Remember, eating, drinking, and intercourse, these are agreed upon by the scholars that they nullify the fast. Eating, drinking, and intercourse. As for intentional vomiting, this is something agreed upon by the four schools of jurisprudence. Remember, the four schools of jurisprudence, what are they? They are nothing but schools of interpretation. They are interpreting the texts of the Quran and the Sunnah. Walhamdulillah. So, kullu aklin. أو إدخال جوف من أي موضع كان متعمدا ولو غير مطعوم. Entering anything into the inner cavities of the body, anything, whether this be something which is nutritional, not nutritional, whether it's food, whether it's a stone, whether it's poison, as long as you entered it into your body purposefully, intentionally, you were not forced, etc., you knew what you were doing, your fast is nullified. Whether it entered via the mouth, whether the nose, whether by the anus, whether it be a normal entry point or not a normal entry point, us will all nullify the fast. Jayid. The author states, وَجِمَاعٌ and intercourse, وَدَوَاعِيهِ and those matters which lead to intercourse. Those matters which lead to intercourse. The author is not too specific here. We say that, number one, if there was intimacy between husband and wife, but there was no intercourse, let's say, but there was release of semen. There was release of semen, there was ejaculation, release of semen, the fast is nullified. No doubt about that. Second category. Okay, there was no release of semen, but there was release of pre-seminal fluid. He was aroused and, he's holding her hand, he might have been kissing her, etc. And there was release of pre-seminal fluid. According to the madhab, the fast is nullified. This is specific to the Hanbali madhab. The other madhahib don't say this. But the Hanbali madhab states, if there was release of pre-seminal fluid, the fast is nullified. As long as there was mubashara, there was, messing around between husband and wife, there was touching, etc., then this is something which nullifies the fast. And if there was this touchy-touchy, but there was no release of semen, there was no release of pre-seminal fluid, the fast is still fine, walhamdulillah. So the author's wording, dawa'ihi, that which leads to intercourse, requires a bit more explanation and detail, insha'Allah. It does not mean just merely having desire for the wife and touching her, automatically the fast is nullified. No, we've gone through the details. وَيَلْزَمُ بِالْجِمَاءِ كَفَارَ And there is kafara due if the fast was nullified via intercourse. Intercourse is the only nullifier of fast which brings upon the penalty of this, of the kafara. Number one, you need to free a slave. If you can't, only if you can't, then you move on to fasting 60 days. And if you can't do that, only if you can't, then you move on to the third one, which is feeding 60 poor Muslims. And if you can't do that, let's say the brother, he doesn't have any of these three options, then the kafara falls away. It doesn't remain a debt on his shoulders. No, it falls away, inshallah. وَحَجْمٌ لَهُمَا. And also hijama, the hajim and the mahjum, the person who does the cupping and the one who was cupped, both of them, their fast has been nullified. According to the madhab, this is a matter of ta'abbudi. This is a matter of where we don't look into what's the hikmah or the wisdom or the reason, or we make qiyas and we say, well, you are donating blood and you're donating more blood than even the cupping, so your fast should also be nullified. No, we don't do all of that. According to the madhab, it's only to do with cupping and the one who did the cupping, both their fasts have been nullified. This is also from the mufradat of the madhab, specific to the Hanbali madhab and not the other three schools of jurisprudence. The author did not mention the matter of qi, which is intentionally vomiting. This nullifies the fast according to the four schools of jurisprudence. Excellent. Walhamdulillah. Wa mubahun kata'ati al-mubahat. What is permissible while you are fasting? Example, using the siwak, according to the madhab, before zawal, you do not use it after zawal, it is makruh after zawal. Kissing without desire, this is something which is permissible, inshallah. Also something permissible, you know, if the woman, she's been cooking the whole day, she's serving 20 people, she wants to taste the food, whether there's enough salt, etc. And so she doesn't swallow, but rather she tastes with the tip of her tongue and then she spits it out. This would be permissible if there's a need to do this, inshallah. What's makruh? Dhuq ta'am. Tasting the food where there's no need. What is makruh? Tasting the food and spitting it out where there's no need. Wa madh ilk la yatahallal. And also biting upon like for example a bubble gum, you know, which la yatahallal, which doesn't have any nutrients, so doesn't have anything which is being released. Example, brother Ilyas is chewing on this bubble gum from 4:30 in the morning and the fast begins at 5 a.m. and so from 4:30 he's been chewing, and all of the sugar, all of the taste, all of the colorants, etc., they have all disappeared. It's only now he's just chewing on this, on the gum. It's just the pure gum there and he's chewing on it. There's nothing being swallowed. And so this here would be makruh for him to continue chewing on it after the fast begins. وَقُبْلَتْ And kissing, this is something which is makruh, the author states, وَنَحْوِ ذَلِكَ And matters similar to that, عَلَى كُلِّ حَال, that with regards to kissing the wife, etc., or the wife kissing the husband, if this was not, accompanied with desire and lust, there's no issue in that, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. وَمُحَرَّمٌ كَغِيبَ Haram, ghiba, backbiting people, talking ill about people, whether you're fasting, whether you're not fasting, Allahu musta'an. Wa nahwiha, and other matters similar to it, like for example, carrying tails. Wa la yaqdi, and if one backbit another individual, there's no qada because your fast was not nullified. You are sinful, but this is not a nullifier of the fast. It's haram, but it does not nullify your fast. Eating while you're fasting is a nullifier of the fast and it's haram, whereas backbiting is haram, but not a nullifier of the fast. What if somebody is eating and drinking forgetfully? Their fast is valid, inshallah. The author states, وَيُسَنُّ الْإِعْتِكَافِ كُلِّ صَوْمْ لِمَسْجِدْ لِشْتِغَالْ بِالطَّاعَةِ La ghayraha. And it is recommended that an individual, you know, spends their time in i'tikaf, fi sum, while you are fasting. So according to the author, he states that it is a condition that if you are in i'tikaf, you need to be fasting. You need to be fasting. Whereas in reality, according to the madhab, this is not a condition. This is not a condition. You could travel to Makkah al-Mukarramah, you are a musafir, and you can be there, you can make i'tikaf in the haram of Makkah, and because you are musafir, you do not have to fast, and your i'tikaf will be valid, inshallah. Remember, i'tikaf, we have two types. Number one, which is a nadhar. Oh Allah, if I pass my my exam, if I get better, if my kid recovers, I am going to make i'tikaf for your sake for 3 days. So this is another, you've made it an obligation upon yourself, you have to fulfill it. The other type of i'tikaf is the sunnah. And so the month of Ramadan comes, 1 day, 2 days, 10 days, 5 days, whatever number you can, inshallah, you know, you sit in i'tikaf. What's the minimum i'tikaf? The minimum amount of time that we will regard you being in seclusion, you being in i'tikaf, that is what is regarded as i'tikaf. What if, for example, I sat for 1 day in i'tikaf and now I need to go home? No problem at all. Any kafara, any penalty, any sin, any qada, no, nothing like that. This is a sunnah i'tikaf. You can do as you wish, inshallah. The brother was in i'tikaf for 3 days and then he says, you know, I need to go to the park. I really need to walk in the park. I want to walk in the park, inshallah. Right? Or he needs to do some shopping. No problem, brother. If you want to go, go. Remember, your i'tikaf is nullified. It breaks now. And then you can come back after that and you can restart a new i'tikaf, inshallah. Walhamdulillah. وَيُفْسِدُ مَا يُفْسِدُ الصَّوْمُ. And what nullifies your i'tikaf? Whatever nullifies your fast. Remember, according to the author, he puts a condition that you must be fasting in your i'tikaf. Nonetheless, definitely, according to all scholars, if there was intercourse while you were in i'tikaf, your i'tikaf nullified. If you left the masjid without any reason, this also nullifies the i'tikaf, etc. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, as we said, if it's nullified, you just come back and you restart bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. With that, walhamdulillah, we have covered the chapter pertaining to siyam, inshallah. As you've noticed, extremely concise, walhamdulillah. Idea behind this, for us to have an overview of this pillar of al-Islam, to have an overview via this book, inshallah, of all of these chapters of fiqh. We ask Allah for the best in this world and in the hereafter. We ask Allah to grant us knowledge which is beneficial. We ask Allah to grant us knowledge which is beneficial and keep us away from knowledge which is not beneficial. We ask Allah to grant us tawfiq to make amal upon whatever we've learnt. We ask Allah to make this knowledge a proof for us and not a proof against us. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, as one of the mashayikh, he mentions that this knowledge that you have sought, if it cannot even be seen in the most important pillar after our shahadatain, which is our salah, then what's the point? What's the point, Allahu Musta'an? In salah, we can't even see the remnants, the fruits, the results of this knowledge. Where else are we then going to see it? Allahu Musta'an. We ask Allah to overlook our faults. We ask Allah to overlook our shortcomings. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the best in this world and in the hereafter. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.